simple survival action to take the necessary action to remain in parliament. But that act by some four members of parliament to run as an independent, or better said, to align with a political party, has landed them in trouble with the Speaker, Alban Bamin, expected to rule on the controversial push to expel the MPs. But will that play out as both sides weigh their options? We'll take you live to Parliament for the latest on the Plaza exclusive interview with former Speaker Professor Aaron Michael Kwe. Before that, though, listen to the arguments and how they played out on the floor of Parliament yesterday.
Speaker, Parliament hasn't yet taken a decision. In fact, in the context of Article 2 of the Constitution, it is an act or omission of a person which violates the Constitution, which triggers an action before the Supreme Court for either an interpretation or an enforcement of the Constitution. Mr. Speaker, the majority leader knows that to take an action in anticipation does not comply with the letter and spirit of the Constitution. In fact, the Supreme Court made it very clear in Tufo and the Attorney General that it does not give advisory opinions. What the majority leader has done is basically asking the Supreme Court to give an advisory opinion on a matter that, in respect of which, Parliament hasn't yet taken any action. And as a leader of the House, I think that what he's doing, or what he has done by taking that action, is basically weakening the power of Parliament. It was in the same Tufo and Attorney General that the court said that whatever happens in Parliament is a closed book.
I read that says, when a member makes a statement, the Speaker, considering the comment of the statement, may direct a committee to investigate and inquire into the matter. And the last part says, and when necessary, propose legislation. But this is not about legislation. So the Speaker, a statement is made. First of all, the statement has to be admitted. But because of the urgency of this matter, I don't think I'll even belabor that point. But the 93A says that the clerk shall make available to members copies of the admitted statements. But because of the urgency of this matter and the seriousness of the matter, I will not also belabor that point. But Mr. Speaker, when you look at Order 3, Order 3 says that Order 5, 2. They say, in any case not provided by these orders, the Speaker shall decide on the procedural question. The Speaker, as far as Order 93 is concerned, it is clear what will happen to a statement made under Order 93. And we have been in this House for a long time. When you decide to make a statement, after people will comment, that's what you are doing. When we finish commenting, if the Speaker thinks that the comments are such as to raise a serious issue, you refer the matter to a committee. The committee will go investigate the matter and bring its report. Mr. Speaker, the question of how to enter into Parliament in a particular matter lies entirely in the bosom of the person who intends to bring the matter to Parliament.
So what exactly is a minority action? We'll put together this to illustrate the point. Regarding the matter, that the Speaker says that he will require up to Thursday to give a ruling on the matter. So there you have it. Haruna Idrisu is the former minority leader, currently member of parliament for Tamale South. And he first raised this matter, and then it's official in parliament, moved by the minority leader, Dr. Kezia Latofos. So these are the MPs in question. We have Cynthia Morrison, Amwakun Esiama, and of course the other one on the NDC side, the Member of Parliament for Amenfi East, Kwache Aka, and of course Kodja Santi. So these are the MPs that the House has been invited to rule on their legitimacy on the floor because they are filed to contest as an independent candidate. The claim from the minority is that they cease to represent the political party that sponsored them in parliament. For that reason, the Speaker should declare the seats vacant. We've had a precedent to this matter, and it's unclear what the speaker's action would be. So this is a relevant provision that the speaker has been asked to rule on. The arguments have been made from both sides of the house. The speaker, in concluding the debate yesterday, said he will require at least 2 days to make his ruling, and that 2 days will elapse on Thursday. Let me take you live now to Parliament for more. And Kwaku Asante is a parliamentary correspondent. He joins. Kwaku, is this matter still a burning issue on the floor? So we'll try and bring Kwaku Asante back on this matter and to find out the issue on the floor, plus other matters that took place today on the floor of Parliament. There are issues about whether government is still determined to push through the measure of VRA and, of course, Blue Power Authority and the aftermath of that. So in 2020, the Member of Parliament for Formida, who was then an MPP MP, had a seat declared vacant after he contested as an independent candidate. And the person who was in the chair at that time, the 7th Parliament, Professor Aaron Michael Quay, will be justifying the decision he took in 2020, and after declaring the seat vacant, the backstory, I mean, the behind the scenes, you know, moves that eventually led to him reading a statement from the General Secretary of the MPP on the floor of Parliament, and then the subsequent action that was taken by him, which led to the declaration of the Formida seat as vacant. Now, the Member of Parliament will go on to win the Formida seat as an independent candidate, currently the second Speaker of Parliament. Kwaku, you're welcome to the pause. So, is this still a matter on the floor? Have you cited any of the MPs? How are they reacting to the position taken by their colleagues to have them out of Parliament?
Well, also, it's still pretty a big issue here in Parliament. Every now and then, you'll see MPs focusing together, discussing these issues and talking among themselves as to what exactly should be happening. A lot of them anticipating that ruling from the Speaker of Parliament expected to come tomorrow. Bagbin himself, as I said, he has suspended sitting for close to 2 hours now. He said he has some meeting because some of his deputies are around. And one of them implicated in this, Andrew Amakwechiama, also not having been present in the last 2 days. So it's pretty big an issue. A lot of MPs focusing among themselves and talking about this. It's really much split between the middle. MPP MPs taking a line that, listen, Bagbin would have to take some time and wait for the political party to communicate to them first after hearing from these MPs. All NDC MPs believe that the constitutional provision is really open and sharp, according to them, and the Speaker of Parliament should just go ahead and declare those seats vacant. So Bagbin, pretty much in a very tight spot. We understand he is very much falling on all the laws. In fact, one person very close to the speaker telling me today that the speaker has heard from Michael Quaid, who did speak to you exclusively on joining on the call. And so a lot of these factors coming into the Bagbin, we're going to weigh all of these factors and then go ahead to make a determination. And so when it comes to the four MPs, none of them have been coming around with the exception of Peter Yawakiaka, who we've been speaking to, who says he's really not fazed by this attempt to oust him. He really believes that he will win the seat, and his tone is seemingly the same as that which was taken by the opposition. You recall Elton, when the seat was declared vacant, that he didn't care, and that he was going to win the seat for the NPP. Ultimately, he won, and he's the reason why the NPP is in majority now. And so, Peter Yawakiaka also says he's not fazed, just that he was piqued by certain decisions taken by the NDC, which he believed was unfair, which is the reason why he's going to independence. He does not anticipate that he's going to back down on this. But also, that is the move in the House of Parliament.
All right, thank you so much, Kwaku Asante, our parliamentary correspondent. Now, the Speaker of Parliament, Alban Bagbin, is expected to deliver his highly anticipated ruling on this controversial matter tomorrow, Thursday. Now, ahead of that, though, the man who presided over the House in the 7th Parliament, Professor Aaron Michael Quay, you know, set this precedent. And if you listen to the debate yesterday, a lot of reference were made on the ruling and the reason behind the ruling he gave on the floor that led to the declaration of the Formida seat as vacant. He tells us more in the following interview. So this is special edition of The Pulse. We are coming to you live from the residence of the former Speaker of Ghana's Parliament, the 7th Parliament of Ghana, Professor Aaron Mike Okwei. And he has some concerns to share on this raging matter of whether or not the Speaker should consider a motion filed by the former minority leader, Haruna Idris, who demanded that four members, sitting members of Parliament, three on the MPP side and one on the ND side, step down. It's inviting the Speaker to rule that their seats be declared vacant, because these MPs, they have decided to contest the upcoming election as an independent candidate, even though they are in Parliament on the ticket of either the MPP or the NDC. The matter is generating interest in Parliament. A member has taken this matter to the Supreme Court, the majority leader, asking that the Speaker be prevented from even considering this motion. So what is the take of Professor Aaron Michael Kwe, former Speaker of Parliament, who will find answers to? Prof, you're welcome.
Thank you very much.
And it's indeed a pleasure to be in before you in your presence and in your home.
It's a joy. It's all part of the public service.
Great. So we'll zoom straight to the matter. I'm sure you've been following the discussion. The minority leader raised this matter, former minority leader raised this matter on the campaign platform. Now, Parliament is back today, and he has followed it up with a former motion asking the Speaker to rule on this matter. What is your understanding of the constitutional problem, whether or not Haruna Idris has any grounds to stand on?
Thank you very much. It should be what should be our understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Because the law is the law, and the constitution is the supreme law of the land.
Mm.
In looking at these constitutional matters, it's very, very important to also know the background to some of these constitutional provisions.
Mm.
Then you can contextualize it, that is, put it in context.
Right.
It appeared first in the 1969 constitution, that is, this idea of protecting political parties so that their members would not run away, or cross carpet, as we used to say.
Right.
Cross carpeting was an instrument used by the Convention People's Party to destroy opposition parties. In other words, they removed your membership away from you,
mm-hmm,
by making them come to the majority side.
Right.
And it happened so many times. In fact, every elderly person can tell you what happened about carpet crossing in Ghana.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, in the 1969 constitution debates, if you read the debates, you realize that in order to protect political parties from their members being stolen,
mm-hmm,
if you may put stolen in inverted commas, right, we have to provide some provisions that will protect the political parties against this kind of what we may call robbery. Therefore, it was put in that constitution. If you cross carpet, you lose your membership. So that people will think twice
before doing so.
Before they would do so.
Mm.
And then it was repeated in 79 and 1992. It is very, very important to know this background, because it tells you to whom does the benefit inure by way of this constitutional provision.
Right.
It inures to political parties. In other words, for a political party in particular to say, this is our member, he or she has moved to the other side,
mm-hmm,
he cannot move to that side, she must forfeit his seat.
Yeah, because we can't benefit from both,
exactly,
sides.
Exactly. You know, it's a way of disagreeing with approbating and reprobating.
Mm.
The political parties are one of the pillars of democracy in the constitution.
Mm-hmm.
They are to be protected, and they too are to do their internal administration by that constitution in accordance with democratic principles.
Mm.
So it cuts both ways.
Right.
They are protected, and they too must act responsibly.
Mm-hmm.
Let us start, for example, with what happened in the last parliament,
which you presided.
Which I presided over.
I'm sure in the case of the current Deputy Speaker of Parliament.
That is so. It was a very interesting case. In fact, it was some parts of the executive which initially were protesting. I told them they have no locus in that matter.
Protesting against what?
No, it was protesting against the former MP.
His continuous allegiance to the MP, even though they are far to contest the election as an independent candidate.
I told them they had no locus in that matter. If they wanted to do what they purported to do, they should let their party do it.
First sack him from the party?
Exactly.
Or recall him from parliament?
Exactly. First, dealing with him as a party person, then other things will roll. So, if you don't get the background well, you will be misled.
Okay.
So, the NPP, as a party, wrote to the speaker, stating why they were withdrawing their support, because according to their constitution, this person had betrayed his allegiance to the party
first.
Yes, by contesting against the official candidate of the party.
Right.
So it means that if you want to invoke this constitution, you must also show where by your internal constitution that particular person had flouted your law. And they showed it, that if you contest against the official candidate of the party, you are liable to expulsion
from the party.
From the party.
In other words, you become an opponent to your own party.
Exactly. You become an opponent to your own party. You have put it very, very right. And if you do so, you forfeit your membership. And for that matter, the speaker should kick him out of parliament.
So the MPP wrote to you.
So the MPP wrote,
complaining about the conduct of their own member.
They were making some demands, I told you, from other sources. I said, you can't. Let them tell me. When they wrote, by the tenets of natural justice, which all lawyers know, I had to hear him. I had to let him comment on what his party had written. We call it the audi alteram partem rule. Hear the other party. So I attached a copy of their letter to my own communication to him and gave him a certain number of days to respond to that query. 7 days. Having received it, he chose not to respond. In fact, he made a statement on air that he will not contest and that he was for him, he was only going his way.
So you forwarded the MPP's letter that they wrote to you, to him.
Yes.
Asking for his response.
Exactly.
And he did not yes. respond to you.
You cannot judge a person
without giving
him fair hearing. And that is why, actually, being a speaker of parliament is a legal matter.
Right.
You have to follow the full tenets of the law. So he had that opportunity and he chose not to be part of that process.
Okay.
Having chosen not to be part of the process, I had to do what the law says I must do.
Even though without his input.
Without his input, because he has chosen not to respond
to you officially.
Or to the official letter.
But you have to give him the opportunity. He had indicated in the public space that he was contesting as an independent candidate.
Yeah, exactly. He was not interested. Okay. So now I had to act. What does the law say, the constitution? Mm-hmm. It's very, very simple and clear. When that kind of situation arises, the speaker should declare the seat what? Empty.
Mm-hmm.
So I formally took the steps prescribed under the law, and I declared his seat empty in the chamber of parliament.
Right.
Now, I heard, for example, Honorable Inusu Fuseni.
Inusu Fuseni
making a few remarks about, on that occasion, not bringing in parliament. There was no debate in the house. There's no need for a debate.
Because this was an open and closed matter.
Exactly. It's a technical provision. It is the duty of the speaker to go through the constitutional and legal processes and make a ruling, a finding by him. So the situation having arisen as provided by the Constitution, I made that declaration. Let me tell you, if the Speaker were to make this, on that occasion myself, were to make this a matter of debate, then there should be a decision by Parliament.
Of course, Parliament must come to some
resolution. Exactly. When Parliament debates, it comes to a determination by vote. This is not a voting matter at all. It's a technical declaration by the Speaker by operation of law.
In this case, you were interpreting the content of
the law
of the 1992 Constitution.
Exactly. In fact, I was applying the law. I prefer applying, not interpreting. You see, you interpret when there's an ambiguity.
Mm.
But I know the law.
Okay.
And the law is clear on all fours. So you apply it. And let me tell you why there's no need for a debate. I've given you the history of the law.
Of course.
The law is such that it inures to the benefit of a political party.
Mm.
So the political party is the one that generates the process.
Right.
And draws your attention to something that has been done wrong. When you get it, you go through the process of listening to that political party, listening to the person who is accused, and then you rule.
Right.
Otherwise, it will become just a political decision. If you bring such a matter to the floor, then you go through all those dynamics where the majority may then win.
Of course, and the Constitution is quite clear.
Exactly.
As far as the dealing with this matter, there's no way that debates is mentioned.
No, there's no debate.
Of course.
It can be dangerous.
It is left
debate
in the hands,
and vote.
It is left in the hands of the Speaker.
The Speaker must know the law.
Okay.
It is not a small position, and you must know it authoritatively and apply it. And when I say apply, I don't say interpret.
Right.
I don't like the concept interpretation when the law is clear on its force.
So, Prof, the situation we have on our hands, is it the same like you encountered before the 2020 elections?
It can be. It all depends. But let me tell you one thing about the mischief that a debate can cause.
Mm-hmm.
Supposing the majority people now in parliament at one time tell you that, oh, there is something against this particular person on the minority. He has actually operated against his party by something that he said or did somewhere and so on and so forth.
Mm.
Then you bring it to the vote and then you sack that MP because the eyes will become overcome the nays.
Right.
Then you sack them.
Right.
So it means that majority can use this as a mischievous instrument to continue sacking the minority.
Absolutely.
Because they will bring the matter to the floor and then they will tell the Speaker, we have to debate and we have to take a vote. And if they take the vote, they win.
Mm.
Then they chalk him out. Then they chalk and now hang out. It becomes a fine way of reducing the membership of the opposition. So you see, it's not an opposition and majority and minority matter.
Mm.
It's a matter of a political party. The benefit inures to the political party and not to others. And let me tell you, it's like a man and his wife living in their house and somebody saying that your wife has done something wrong, therefore there should be a divorce case to sack her. And the man tells you, I have no problem with my wife.
Hmm.
We are sitting here in peace having tea. What is that man talking about? And you are insisting the outsider that there is trouble. Who should know whether there is trouble or not? That is the political party, the husband or the wife.
Hmm.
That is the thing.
Okay. So in this case, Harun Ayidusu is inviting the Speaker of Parliament to give meaning to the constitutional provision that said as when a member declared allegiance to another party, in this case, the members, they decided to contest as independent candidate, just like it happened in the case of Andrew Esiama in 2020. He's inviting the Speaker to declare the seat vacant. Procedurally, is Harun Ayidusu right?
He's wrong.
He's wrong.
He's wrong.
Why do you say so?
Because the benefit is not his. The law does not stand to his endearment. That's why I talk about husband and a wife.
Meaning he has no locus?
He has no locus.
Because he doesn't belong to the MPP?
Because he doesn't belong to the party involved. Is it you who should say there's a problem in my house? You say there's a problem, I have a problem with my wife. And I'm saying I have no problem with my wife. What are you talking about? Because see, problems can arise in political parties. But they can talk and they can resolve them. It's not everything that comes within the political party that comes out.
Mm.
There may be trouble somewhere. We can talk about it. So it is the MPP that can trigger
the removal of these
the removal of his own MP. Yes.
So for to put it in proper context, if Haruna Iddrisu wants something done, he can only do so as it relates to the only NDC member who is also, you know, express his desire
that is so.
To contest an independent.
That is so.
But he cannot force the speaker
no.
to declare the seats belonging to the MPP
at all.
MP's vacant. This can only be triggered by the MPP as a political party.
By the MPP. And that's why I've given you the background of the what? That legal provision.
Mm.
It is to correct a certain mischief that can be operated against political parties. It's not a matter of debate at all on the floor of the House. In fact, if you bring debate, you create a big problem. Because now, you can always use a majority in parliament to provoke a debate, and then they will start sacking the minority people. Is that not so?
Yes.
Because if you bring it as a debate and as a vote, then if you say aye, and the ayes are more than the nay, then the motion has been carried, and that person might be sacked from parliament. What are you talking about?
Educate me, Prof. I'm looking at the tenure of members of parliament.
Yeah.
And going through the constitutional provision, he says if any circumstance arise such that if you're a member of parliament would cause him to be disqualified or eligible, if he resigns from office as a member of parliament by writing under his hand or address to the speaker, if he leaves the party of which he was a member at the time of his election to parliament to join another party or seeks to remain in parliament as an independent member of parliament, I don't see anywhere that the role of political parties is mentioned here.
If he leaves his party, if he has been sacked by his party, if the party starts any disciplinary action against him,
mm-hmm.
it's the party who knows. It's the party.
For now, there's no evidence to suggest that the MPP has sacked them.
There's no evidence that the MPP have sacked them. And it's the MPP who can say they have sacked them.
Mm-hmm.
There can be trouble. I've said it. There can be difficulties. But while those difficulties are going on, you cannot bring this kind of application to the court. And that is why the speaker will pronounce on it by going through the processes of law that he should know. That is, giving whoever is being accused hearing and then pronouncing upon his exit.
So until the MPP as a party take any decision against any of the members, for now it will be deemed as though they are so legitimate members of the MPP.
That is so.
Even though they are contesting the upcoming elections as independent candidates.
It is for the party.
Contesting against the party's chosen candidates in their constituencies.
It's for the party to now complain. And if there's anything, it is for the speaker now to hear that person. You know that it's an action against an individual.
Mm-hmm.
It's an action against an individual. Those people who are calling for certain removals, have they heard them?
No.
That is the end of the matter. You cannot pronounce anybody guilty. You cannot kick a member of parliament from parliament unless there's a process of hearing him or giving him or her the chance to be heard.
There's a spirit and a letter of the constitution. Morally, the MPP in 2020 took that decision because for some people they had their numbers in town, so one person leaving the party was not going to have any effect on the numerical strength of the MPP in 2020.
Yeah. Yes.
Now it's different.
Yes.
So morally, perhaps the reason why the MPP is not taking this step is that any move they make will put them in opposition in parliament.
Very good.
So morally, the MPP
may not want to. Or maybe trying to still solve the problem.
But you're saying that technically and logically, they are right.
They are right because they should be the complainants. Because you see, and at the moment, those people who are asking that certain persons, whether MPP people or NDC people, should serve from parliament, have they given them a hearing?
No, we don't know yet.
Until you give the people a hearing, can you make pronouncements adversely against them?
So even for the NDC member,
I just want us to get this one matter
right. Okay.
Because the process of Odi or Terram Partem hearing the other party is a fundamental law. You cannot break it and yet act legitimately. Anything that breaks that law is illegitimate, illegal, of no effect, null and void.
But it will be the speaker's pronouncement to say that the people should be given hearing, isn't it so?
It is mandatory that the moment you see that there's a possible disciplinary action against anyone, to trigger Odi or Terram Partem and hear him or her.
Isn't that how Nnauduzi is seeking to do? Get a speaker to act on this matter. It will be in the speaker's place to say that I'm allowing, you know, for those affected to hear them,
and then to and give those meaning to them. Those that you are complaining about, say, I don't have any problem with my party. The party says we don't have any problem with him at this stage. We have difficulties, but we are trying to resolve them. So at this stage, we have not concluded. We have not displaced anybody, and nobody has also left. What do you say?
What do we expect the current speaker to do regarding this motion?
The current speaker is a very experienced man. He's one of the fundamentals of parliament. He has been in parliament from 93. And I've known him as a very, very strong member of parliament. He likes and he loves parliament. I believe that he will go by the way that I'm talking about. Yes. But now we are actually talking about the generalities.
Okay.
I love to talk about principles before application.
Right.
Then nobody will complain, oh, you don't like me, or or it's idiosyncratic. Let us establish the principle clear. When you establish the principle, then after a particular issue, you just slot it in. And that is the kind of way I like to have things done.
But for you lawyers, every lawyer may have a different view to a matter. So just like you insisted on the MPP complaining, you expect that if the speaker should consider this matter, you have a complaint that in this case, the party upon which the members are serving in parliament.
Yes, and that is what I told you about the man and his wife. You say, oh, they are fighting. They have to come to court for divorce. And the man says, I'm holding my wife's hand here, and we are having tea and snacks. What are you talking about confusion in my house? What do you say?
In this case, in the absence of a formal complaint, you expect the speaker to dismiss this motion outright?
I would love to say what I know the law is. As to what other people do, I will leave that to them. But I think I'm a Ghanaian. I'm also free to say what I know the law provides by way of the constitution and by way of the provisions in the party's constitution. Mind you, the MPP people invoked a section of their constitution, you see, and then triggered the national constitution. All these things were provided for first. Then you can also apply.
I remember before the 2020 election, the MPP issued rules and regulations to govern the conduct of the presidential and parliamentary elections.
Yes.
And where they make it clear that in the event that an aspirant or a candidate, after going to the primary, decided that we want to contest an independent candidate, we're not going to accept that situation. And that once you do that, you automatically lose your membership. Doesn't that automaticity take effect in this matter?
In fact, it was not only that rule thing was a reminder. It is already provided for in the MPP constitution itself. You see, that constitution is in tandem with the national constitution.
Right.
So the moment they invoke it, then the constitutional provision in the 1990s.
Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. That's why when it comes to hard work, nothing works harder than a Chevy Silverado. It's an all-star that works as hard as you do. On the field, you have to operate under any condition. No excuses. Get the job done. That's why Chevy Silverado is the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. It's built to handle the big jobs. Silverado is an all-around workhorse designed with your safety in mind. Automatic emergency braking, forward collision alert, and rear park assistant are on the job with you, assisting when it matters the most. And with its advanced trailering technology and 8 available cameras, Silverado is a beast for any job, smart and strong. No wonder Cars.com named Silverado best pickup for towing. Now during truck season, get 0% APR financing plus no monthly payments for 90 days on a Chevy Silverado 1500 pickup. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details. Work hard, play harder in a new Chevy Silverado.
The two constitution will apply. And then, of course, the speaker must give whoever is being queried an opportunity. And that is why I made sure that the complaint was in writing to the and signed by the Secretary General of the party as known in this country, and then given to the person who was being complained of an opportunity to also respond, and then apply the law according to what is in the Constitution. And it is not a matter of parliamentary debate. Right. And I've told you the mischief of a debate like this. Otherwise, I say in future, if you have the majority, you will bring a motion, and then it will be debated, and then it will be voted upon, and then the majority will win the debate, and they will sack one member of the minority. Tomorrow they will sack another one. It will come to the same mischief that the Constitution wanted to address, because it will become like some cross-carpeting or killing the other political party by a strategy which is not democratic.
Absolutely.
This is the letter and spirit of the Constitution.
This is more like, for you, a self-serving interest of the minority.
Exactly. It's a self-serving interest, which if they also had a majority, you can imagine how dangerous it would be, not so?
Of course.
You have a majority of 10 in parliament. If they take a vote, you will win. Then you say, oh, these people, some people, something has happened, and therefore we want to sack that member of parliament on the minority side. Then the speaker puts the question, nay, aye. And then they say, I have won. They sack him. It will be back to the problem that we wanted to resolve when we provided for that in the 1969 Constitution. You must know the historicity of our constitutional provisions as well. Then you say, oh, this is the mischief that the law sought to provide against. Therefore, we won't go that way.
Even before the speaker would admit and consider this motion, the majority leader, Alexander Fenyamakim, has filed a suit at the Supreme Court seeking to block the speaker from hearing and determining this particular motion. Will you say this is premature? Knowing very well that if I should go by your logic, in the absence of a formal complaint from the MPP, this matter shouldn't even be discussed.
You know, I don't like commenting on these specific steps. Mr. Honorable Marking may well be right, but I'd like to put the legal and constitutional position in clarity. Then you can apply it. Yes.
As because, I mean, it's like you are running ahead of yourself, because this could be a matter that could be determined on the floor. The implications for your party may not be good. So it's rushed to the Supreme Court to say, stop the speaker from even considering this.
And it is also got some very important constitutional consequences.
Right.
I've told you what. You see, law is an instrument for mischief correction. No law is just made. It is made so that something can be corrected. And that is why a person who applies constitutional provisions must always have the discussions that led to the Constitution at his fingertips.
Right.
Because if you don't have that one, you wouldn't know why was this law made at all.
Yeah.
If you don't know why it was made, sometimes applying it or interpreting it may be a bit difficult.
Right.
But if you know what it is to apply and the historicity of it, it helps you a lot.
Mm.
And that is why I talked about it not being a debate. I think the constitution makers were very clear. It didn't say the power to dismiss lies on parliament.
No.
It doesn't say the house shall. Mm. It says what? The speaker
shall.
That shall is mandatory.
Mm. Ultimate responsibility.
Yes. You must know the law as speaker. You must apply it responsibly, like using the word very important word, responsibility. And by applying it well, you will come to a justiciable conclusion.
Mm.
And that is what I would like to draw attention to. You need to ensure that you don't trigger a situation whereby now majorities will bring in motions against minority members and one by one sack them from parliament. So if I have more than 10 members vis-a-vis you, then I'll embark upon that mischief and then your members will be leaving. It will be against the principle of protecting political parties in a multi-party democratic state.
Professor Mike Aaron Michael is my guest here on The Pulse, and of course we are discussing the latest, you know, matter that is seeking to bring that fire in parliament, Haruna Idrisu's motion. He's spoken about, you know, what he knows of the law to be, how he dealt with this matter when it came up in parliament in 2020 regarding the current second deputy speaker of parliament, and for him, in the absence of a formal request from the party upon which the member is serving in parliament, he doesn't think that parliament should have any locus going into this matter. Prof, so away from that, you sat in the chair 4 years as speaker of the seventh parliament. You are credited with the private members' motion and a lot of things that people praise you for. The 8th Parliament is described as a hung parliament, and I don't know, you've been monitoring. Has the 8th Parliament lived up to expectation? There are some who think that under no circumstance should we have this kind of composition of parliament, because it has been an instrument for either retrogressing policies of government, frustrating it, because what people thought it was going to do to serve as a clear balance, it's not been felt. What is your take on the 8th Parliament?
If we love democracy, we must go the full hog. We must be tolerant. We must be accommodating. And people will tell you my accommodation in that particular parliament.
Mm.
You know, there was a time when opposition members complained that they were being harassed by invitations to police headquarters.
Right.
Over one case or the other. And then cameras will be following them. I wrote to the IGP then that this is a complaint of members of parliament. You investigate a case before you know whether a person should even be charged at all.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm strongly in favor of the concern of the opposition. For that matter, I have a speaker's conference room here. If you want to interrogate anybody, write to me. In fact, they are protected under the Constitution.
Right.
Write to me. I will give you the opportunity to come and interrogate the person freely. But this kind of inviting them, embarrassing them, they are honorable members of parliament. I, as speaker, will not allow it.
Mm-hmm.
This was to the favor of the opposition party.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when Honorable Ayariga was dragged by the special prosecutor before court,
right,
in those controversial circumstances, I drew his attention that you must be careful.
The OSP?
The special prosecutor. Mm-hmm. And I invited him formally to my conference room, and we had an open discussion on this matter, bringing the rights of parliamentarians under the Constitution
mm-hmm.
to him clearly. And I said, if you want him during term time, you won't get him. If you like, when you're on vacation, go off your trial.
Mm-hmm.
because the constitution says so. When he's on his way to parliament and so on and so forth, mm-hmm. you cannot stop him with whatever, whatever. I know how this arose from the British tradition when the executive was trying to threaten members of parliament.
Right.
And so on and so forth. So I felt this must be protected. This is what you must do when you are sitting in that chair. Because you see, you are in an adjudicating position. Talking about what you said, it is very, very important for us to know how to balance the equation. In America, you can have a Republican president and the House has a majority
of Democrats.
Mm. Half of them are they not human beings?
Yeah.
And yet the president can rule and have his have things done in four years.
So we should encourage it.
We should encourage it. We must know that this country doesn't belong to one person. It doesn't matter whether NDC or MPP or CPP. No. And we must learn to tolerate each other.
But some say that our parliament has become too partisan. Sometimes the national interest is relegated.
That is true.
Partisan interest is one that is really, even when the matter affects the whole country.
That is true.
Because of MPP and DC.
We better learn it quickly.
We must find a way to bring it down.
We must learn it quickly. Because if we want democracy, that is democracy. We must learn it and learn it quickly. You can have a Republican Secretary of State in one way or the other in one particular era in America. The election changes the party in power, and the new president tells that Secretary of State or whatever to stay on. We have seen this several times, is that not so?
Right.
Why?
But currently we have a case.
And you know what? This is even more applicable if parliament should be independent of the executive. Let parliament be a respectable institution of lawmakers, legislators, and who have a common ethos for the pursuit of parliamentary ideals. There must be such a situation. And then, but you see, when the executive gets the idea that they are in control of parliament day to day.
But in the case where more than 50 of your ministers are appointed from parliament, and then the thinking is that once somebody wins a parliamentary seat and his government is in power, you are courting the eye of the executive for appointment to ministerial position.
Yeah.
So we can only do better when that aspect of the constitution is amended so that parliament becomes strong. Parliamentarian affairs, I don't owe anybody allegiance
exactly.
in terms of.
Exactly.
You know, but until we get there, we'll continue to have this issue.
Exactly. The parliamentarian must know himself as a legislator and must be proud that he's a legislator. Look, that's why we have men like Osei Mensa Busu, Haruna Idrisu, Speaker Ababi, and Deputy Speaker Osei Wusu. And so these are lovers of parliament. They understand parliament, I tell you honestly, and they have regard for parliamentary procedures and the standards of parliament. We need to have all of them like that. Then you will find you have a different republic. They will know when it is in the national interest. They will come and consult and they will vote.
But in this case where sometimes the political party take a position and impress upon the MPs to advance that position on the floor, even though it may be against the national interest, and the MPs don't have a choice but to go with the party's position.
Because of what we have done, you see, we have created a dichotomy. I don't know your parents, you don't know my parents. We are all Ghanaians and we are operating as Ghanaians. Why not? In one big research they did in the UK, the Trevelyan Lodcote report, which brought about good public administration, talked about formalistic impersonality as the essence of good governance. Formalistic impersonality. Quote, if you go and Google and you quote, you will love it. Because we must not be petty and personal.
Right.
We must talk about the ideals of good governance for Ghana.
But currently it appears the pettiness, selfishness, the greed appears to be...
And that is why we are suffering. We better stop.
Few national issues before we take leave of you. Galamsey, It's a national crisis. We are in national. It's a national issue now. Everybody's talking about it. President Akufo-Addo last week had to avoid a nationwide strike by announcing new measures to deal with the menace. Where are we going wrong? Are we on the right track, or what have we done wrong that has brought us this far?
If anything is there that we have done wrong, which in fact there is, it is partisanship, is what I'm saying.
Mm.
If some people will take advantage of the serious approaches of any government,
mm-hmm.
and go about telling Galamseyers, "Ah, for us, we love you. Vote against them, vote for us. When we come to power, we will protect you. In fact, people who are in prison, we shall give you amnesty."
Mm-hmm.
It's sad. Because it doesn't strengthen the hand of those people who are dealing with the Galamseyers. Because there will be a political advantage.
Mm-hmm.
And you will take it against me for doing the right thing.
Of course.
The guys will say, is that not so?
So in terms of fighting it at the very top, in government and opposition, there appears to be no unity.
No.
So those are the guys who take advantage of the division.
So there must be a national consensus. Something that all political parties must sign to.
There's a call for pact.
Yes, they should all know that if it is party B or party A, we shall not be freed. Then, of course, party A, who may be in power for the time being, will also be strong in his hand. Look, this reality, if anybody says he doesn't see it, I'll tell him to think over it again.
President Akufo-Addo in 2017 even put his presidency on the line. In view of what has happened in 2017 now, do you think?
I like to be detached in my comments. I like to go by the principle.
Okay.
And not by individual names.
Mm.
All these individual names shall all pass. But the principle of governance will remain.
Mm.
So I've given to me, the big crew, let us all collectively agree on the program that will end Galamsey. And as for the bad ones, they are in both parties. The bad ones must be flushed out, no matter where they are found.
Today, the president has again directed the Minister for Environment to go back to Parliament to amend LI-4262 that grants, you know, mining in forest reserves. And so Parliament has taken steps to that, you know, revoked. President Akufo-Addo has deployed the military again into the mining areas to stop illegal mining. The civil society demanded declaration of a state of emergency to deal with this matter. They did not get that. Sometimes you wonder what goes into that. But these few steps that have been taken, there's a political, you know, punishment that's likely to happen if this fight is taken to the level that everybody expects it to be. So it appears to be in a situation where you look at the side, we look at the side, but you don't even know what.
I trust that there'll be a bipartisan approach to the amendment of the law. And all Ghanaians will see that everybody is agreed.
Mm.
You see that the law should be amended. And all other consequences that will flow therefrom must also be by consensus.
Mm.
And everybody must be part of signing to that pact. And when all that is clear, I believe the nation shall prosper.
Mm.
And it's good to hear, for example, Dr. Baumia talking about the process of legitimizing Galamsey and bringing in equipment that will do the right thing, and then punishing those who don't do the wrong thing strongly.
Mm.
Because we don't need Galamsey to do small-scale mining.
Mm.
We don't need to pollute water to have small-scale mining. And all those things that will bring the clean processes which exist in other countries by law, if we go by them, we shall benefit and have a win-win situation.
We wait to see how our waters will clear. But you're also a politician. You were in parliament on the ticket of the MPP, representing the good people of Dom Kwabinya, which, of course, is also my constituency.
Oh, you live here?
Of course, I live at Agboba.
Okay.
The 2024 elections, I mean, obviously, and the way things are, there's always the issue about having issue with the Electoral Commission when you're in opposition, and it is even playing out in the full glare of the public. But what is your expectation of the Electoral Commission, the police, and the political parties in this year's election? We've just 53 days to go.
When I was made chairman of the constitution of the committee to conduct the presidential primaries,
yes,
you all remember there was a lot of speculation that the party was going to break into three at one stage. We brought in a number of rules and regulations. At first, some people did not even understand why we should go that far. There were statements that, oh, now we party election, control measures. But the lack of control is what spoils the party.
Right.
Let us go by the law, the rules. So I led the team to make strong and stringent rules. Remember, if you have a political party having an internal election, and there's an unbridled number of people who say they are going to be to vote by proxy,
right,
you must ask yourself, what is happening? Because the voting is being brought to your own constituency, your back door. What is it that prevents you from going to vote? And you're talking about proxy. You see, we must examine our processes and make sure that we always do justice. When we did justice, we all know the peace that happened, and everybody declaring that the election was free and fair.
But Alan Sebastian,
that was an earlier one.
Mm-hmm.
The superdelegates. And it's something that I wouldn't want to comment upon at this stage. But it tells you that when the screws were tightened, everybody said free and fair. And I think that is what the EC boss and her team did in their last press conference. They showed clearly that they had tightened the screws over there, and then there was no fear. And that, in fact, those who went on the demonstration had put some people's life and limb in danger for nothing. Because she made it very clear, and it was known, that the people who said there were over 250,000
names on the register,
names which should not be there, and so on and so forth, and they were asked to bring the evidence, we are still waiting for them till today. Now, personally, if this were my party, I'll be the first person to make serious queries.
The NDC?
If this were to be the MPP, I will raise serious queries.
Like what?
Like, why should we do a thing like that? Why should we say there is such a huge number challenge the national register, and you tell us that you have the evidence, and you promise you are going to bring them, and up to today you can't bring them? How do you support such people? And I will tell them that they are wrong.
But the NDC had made the point that they needed that, and then the platform was provided, and you said that they couldn't provide the evidence that they said they had.
That's the thing. Where is the evidence that some people, about 250,000 people, have been dislodged? Some have been put in, some have been taken out. Could you bring it? So I'm just saying that we must be careful how we make such strong statements.
Will you say that it is just the NDC possibly employing the old trick to discredit the EC?
There should be no old tricks.
All political parties do.
There should be no tricks.
The MPP in the opposition did also the same. Subjected to the EC, to all manner of...
You remember, there were a lot of attacks. At that time, I was chairman of the Constitutional and Legal Committee. And Dr. Mawumia made an analysis and brought names attached to the list. And I brought the legal position that if these are there, then we need to take a second look at it.
Okay.
But you see, there was a list. I'm only saying, please, let us take our democracy seriously. If you ain't got a list, don't tell Ghanaians you've got a list.
Mm.
And if you are challenged to it, bring documents. They will tell you in parliament. Whether you are for MPP or NDC, when you got up to contribute and you started saying certain facts, applying certain data, you must give me the source. This is from so-so and so. Ghana Statistical Service. This, that, that, that.
Mm.
If you cannot provide it, you will sit down.
Okay. The can you be break the 8?
Oh, that one is too political a question for this legal session.
You think the MPP has done enough to win another term in office?
If you look at certain specific aspects of good governance, if you look at the vision of the vice president, the man whose record you will have to compare with his contestants, his main contestants' record as vice president, you see that he's miles ahead.
Miles ahead of John Mahama?
Oh, definitely. In terms of vice presidency, that's the only position they both occupied.
Right.
Occupied. The digitalization is our future. And it's the future of you younger people. We should not be going back. What? The man is talking about how he will get us there. Today, in America, Western world, the roads are being done by way of build, operate, and transfer,
BOT.
This BOT process, what makes it possible is digitalization. In the sense that those who have the money to make will come and make, they will apply the toll, and you cannot run away with the toll money. Here, we take the toll and put it in our pockets, and the roads are bad. We forget that the dishonesty is also part of the problem. A young man finishes school, or a young woman, he cannot buy fridge, cooker, television, all at a go. If there's a good hire purchase system, like other advanced countries, one day he will get all these things.
Yeah.
But he cannot run away with the payment. Because digitalization too will ensure that the right thing is done.
Mm-hmm.
They will collect it from his or her salary step by step, day by day, and so on and so forth. How do we ensure this in our country too? We must improve that process of digitalization. It's not a joke at all.
Mm-hmm.
And if you consider what free senior high school education has done for Ghanaians, our real what we have is our people. And today, uneducated people are not useful people.
Right.
Free SHS is a revolution. It is a revolution. And today, the girls in particular, what it has done to them, making it possible for them to go to school, very soon, there will be nobody available to do menial work without such an amount of training.
Of course.
And do you know what impresses me most? It is a big change in the lives of our young women, as we know them today. I believe that it will continue to be the future of Ghana. And it doesn't matter whether they are owing at the school feeding program and all those things and all. Our mothers used to sell their cloths to take us to secondary school.
True.
Exactly. Don't they owe?
Mm.
They owed, and so on and so forth. So if the government will owe and let our children be enlightened to prepare the better Ghana in terms of our human resource, it's worthwhile.
Okay. All right. So this has been The Pulse, coming to you live from the home of the former Speaker of Ghana's Parliament, Professor Aaron Mike Okwei. Thank you so much for watching. My name is Elton Gobi. Have a good evening.